Hey, welcome to Christ United Methodist Church. No matter who you are or where you're at, whether you're up early or out late, we pray this message is right on time. Thanks for tuning in.
Church, we give our thanks for our Christ kids and as well as the host of leaders, namely Miss Stephanie, our children's choir director. Let's recognize her. All of those don't happen without good help and committed leadership, and we're thankful for that. Thank you, kids, for your message and for your presence here. It means so much to us. So, church, the story continues. It is then what it is now, and I find it just remarkable how it is that God manifests the miraculous in our lives, and oftentimes our response is much as it was with our children. What? That's impossible. How can that be? What do you mean? I don't understand. And it's the same today as it was then. How it is that. That God works incredible things in our lives, and sometimes it only makes sense in retrospect. I'm excited that you're here this morning, especially if you haven't been with us for the previous 2 weeks. We find ourselves in the third week of a sermon series this Advent season that's caused us to focus on one word. It's one word that carries so much weight. It's one word that is so significant in the lives of those surrounding the birth narrative of Jesus and also those of us who continue to harbor the gospel. And it's just that we're open. No matter what age or stage, no matter what size, regardless of whether you're male or female, rich or poor, all of those figures of faith in the Scripture who did significant things in the name of the Lord weren't impeccable people. They were just available people. And it's amazing what God does through those of us who are open. Opportunities exist for us when we're open, and we continue in that tradition, in that vein this morning. You heard a little portion of our scripture text this morning as the Advent recitation was being presented, and we continue in that vein, in that theme, with Mary's song of joy, her Magnificat, and we're receiving that this morning. Winnie?
Please stand as you're able in honor of the gospel. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those in low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his posterity forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Almighty, most gracious God, we give you thanks not only for the gift of this day, but for this opportunity to receive your word, for we realize divine opportunities exist for all of those of us who put ourselves in a posture to say, Lord, we're open. And so, Lord, in the hearing and receiving of this word, we ask that you challenge us, that you change us, that you convict us if necessary. But most importantly, you transform us into a people that at the very least would leave this place, not as impeccable people, but just available people. May the story continue in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, you know what continually blows my mind? The reality that God continues to manifest the miraculous in the lives of people who show enough moxie to move when it matters. That's all we've encountered to this point in Elizabeth and Zechariah and Joseph and Mary and the Magi who are making their way. I told you this gospel account involves people who were on the move, and it's amazing to me how it is that God manifests the miraculous in those people who have the moxie to move at critical times. We see it there, we see it in our kids' presentation, and we see it in this word. You know, Mary's Magnificat, when she goes to visit Elizabeth, and they exchange words. Mary says hello, and the child leaps in Elizabeth's womb, and Elizabeth has to say what she has to say to Mary. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, and blessed are you who thought it possible for God to do the impossible. And we see how it is that, as a byproduct of that, Mary issues this Magnificat. It was her song of praise. It was a song of joy. And I venture to say, brothers and sisters, that her song of joy would have never happened outside of a step of faith. The song that she sang at the conclusion of our passage would have never happened without the steps that she took in the beginning. The bravery that she had to sojourn and to travel. You know, upon us receiving news from the angel in Scripture who told her that she was going to have a baby, the baby's name was going to be Jesus, and behold, her cousin, her relative Elizabeth was going to be pregnant too. In fact, she's in her sixth month. Scripture says that Mary went with haste to the hill country of a Judean town. She went to visit because Mary had to see with her own eyes what God was manifesting in their midst, in her midst, in the world. Now, I need to tell you that the hill country wasn't exactly an easy space to travel. It wasn't necessarily a Judean hop, skip, and a jump from Nazareth. Mary and Elizabeth weren't exactly next-door neighbors in Nazareth. It wasn't like Mary made a left onto Main Street and then the right onto Bethlehem Boulevard and then showed up on Elizabeth's doorstep on her front porch. That's not how it happened. Mary had to sojourn an incredible distance. She had to travel approximately 80 miles. And I brought a map just to kind of give you a frame of reference. Here you see a map, and your ability to read specific places and to locate certain sections of that map is immaterial to this point. But I just need you to know that's where Nazareth is on the map. And then Mary made a decision in visiting Elizabeth in the hill country to travel 80 miles south to a Judean town called, that scholars say is En Karim. Mary made that way south, probably with a caravan of people who were going in that direction. But it wasn't an easy trip. It wasn't an easy journey. It was far from convenient. But what I'm learning, brothers and sisters, as I sojourn my own path of faith and as you sojourn your own path of faith, is that oftentimes God will use the less than convenient to show us that God is more than you think. And not only more than you think, but more than enough. That's a theme that takes place throughout Scripture. God using the less than convenient to show us God is more than enough. Again, to revisit some of the points that we iterated last week, sometimes crisis in life, and Mary experienced what was a crisis. Sometimes crisis in life causes us to become quite closed. But Mary made the travel, it made the journey, it'd be like hoofing it from here to Cambridge on foot. Knowing that your life has been turned upside down. You don't know what to expect at the next turn. You don't know what God's doing in your midst, but nonetheless, she took those steps. And you know, if the news wasn't enough that she was going to birth a baby and his name was going to be Jesus, and it was going to be out of wedlock, that her soon-to-be husband was going to become close to calling it quits, that she'd face a crisis in her family, not only in her family, but in the community, that she'd likely be kicked out to the curb. Of all of those things, on top of that, it would have been hard enough to understand that the only one who would have been able to know what she was experiencing, the only one that would have been able to understand her experience, lived 80 miles away. It's far from convenient. But church, could it be that God uses the less than convenient to show us that God is more than enough and more than we think? Crisis, like last week, causes us to become quite closed. But it's those point in times that should remind us as a Christmas people, as disciples who sojourn a path, that crisis isn't the time to become closed. It's actually the points in time that we need to become the most open to hearing, to seeing, to understanding. Because it's through those experiences, oftentimes crisis, that God shows us that God can do something incredible. That what seem like setbacks in life, God creates as setups for us experiencing something significant. And I can just see Mary on the move. And as she caravans with these people who are going south, she starts having conversation. And in the midst of her conversation says, you know, I'm traveling to visit my cousin. I'm traveling to check in on her because it seems to me that God is doing something great in her life, albeit at a late stage in life. It's apparent to me because of an encounter that I've had that God's doing something great in her life. It's just little that she knew that with every step that she took down to that place, that to check in on her relative, to see that God was doing something great in her life, did she know of that to be a place where she would confirm that God was doing something great in hers. I think it's important that we understand that in verse 36, when the angel Gabriel shared this news with her, the angel said, and now your relative Elizabeth, and I'm going to need you to read that highlighted portion. Your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the
6th month
for her who was said to be barren. It was at a time people thought was too late. She thought that she was long gone with an opportunity. But for she who was thought to be barren, I want you to see that nothing will be impossible with God. She's in her 6th month. And Mary goes with haste to visit her relative Elizabeth. And 20 verses later, in verse 56, Scripture says, and again, the same thing, Mary remained with her, meaning Elizabeth, about how long?
3 months,
and then returned to her home. Now, church, anybody here who knows anything about pregnancy will tell you that that's pretty much full term. 6 months plus 3 months is 9 months. And we don't know whether or not that Mary stayed there with Elizabeth to be her midwife because Elizabeth was pregnant in secrecy. She never left the house. Some scholars suggest that she was there to see her through the whole thing. But regardless... Scripture gives us enough to assume that Mary stayed steadfast, stayed there, and showed up long enough to see Elizabeth through the entire thing, from pregnancy to promise. And I think that that's significant. I think that that's significant because Mary was there long enough not only to see that through, right up until the moment that allowed her to confirm that the conceptual, the thing that we've been talking about in our minds and in our hearts, the conceptual does in the fullness of time become actual. That what you see that you're pregnant with does actually come to pass as a promise. And what can only be trusted by faith can finally be seen in the flesh. Now, some could speculate that Mary showed up to assist Elizabeth, and that well may be true. But could it be that Mary stayed because Elizabeth was assisting her? You know, sometimes God gives us box seats to somebody else's experience. Sometimes God gifts us with box seats to somebody else's labor, to somebody else's striving. Not so that we can behold their burden, but also that we can confirm for ourselves, those who are on a similar path, that the burden isn't in vain, that actually the burden can be a blessing, that the burden does in fact result in a birth. There's something that comes out of it. Not just the pain that comes with the labor, but the payoff that comes when you decisively push through it. You can't understand, you can't see it, but Lord, I'm going to push through it. And Mary needed that. Friends, that's why community is so important. That's why community is so crucial to our own faith development. Oftentimes we think faith takes place in a vacuum, that we can do it individually, that we live on an island, that we can do it by ourselves. But our development of faith is fundamental, and it takes place oftentimes in community. Because if I can see how God delivered you from a situation that others thought was impossible, then maybe my labor won't be in vain. And Mary needed to see that. She needed to confirm that. And that's why Mary started to sing. That's why she shouted for joy. That's why she broke into praise. Not because life was perfect and free from pain, but because her experience with Elizabeth showed her that her pain wouldn't be without a purpose. That indeed, what she can only think about was retained in the conceptual, but she saw with Elizabeth that the conceptual did become actual. And the pain had a purpose. And the pregnancy did come to pass with a promise that the burden she carried would be real, but there wouldn't be a burden without a birth. And the life that she thought at the time was falling apart because of her encounter, she confirmed it was really just falling into place. And I can just hear Mary mentioning, can't you? Yes, the trip was less than convenient. Yes, it was hard. Yes, it was difficult. Yes, the way was wearisome. And no, I don't have all of the answers. But with every step I take, I feel God teaching me. You know, it's not so much about making it. It wasn't so much about showing up at Elizabeth's house. Arriving isn't everything. That perhaps on this path of faith, it's less about the destination and it's more about the revelation therein. On a path of faith, the destination is secondary to the revelation that we experience. It wasn't just her about arriving at Elizabeth's house. It was about what God was going to show her as a byproduct of the journey. As you're open enough to walk, we see it happening time and time again in Scripture for a people who are open. You know, look, if being in worship really matters and encountering this word really matters and applying your life to this word really matters, then flip the pages of Scripture and see, brothers and sisters. It was less than convenient for old Moses to go back into Egypt, back to the place where he committed the crime. It was less than convenient for him to go back there, but it was a very springboard that God needed to show him that God was more than enough and more than he thought. That going back to Egypt wasn't a destination, just God used it as a what? As a revelation for something larger. It was less than convenient for the disciples to be stuck in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the storm. They thought it was a destination, and Jesus was asleep on the stern, and he woke up, and he quieted the winds and the waves, and they were amazed. Not because they were on the water, not because they were trying to reach a destination, but because the destination contained a what? A revelation, where Jesus stands up and he rebukes the elements and it listens. And they say, oh my gosh, the last time we heard of someone speaking in the nature listening was in the beginning when God spoke. And it was. Who must he be? It was less than convenient for Jesus to go through Samaria and have a sit-down with a woman at a well at noonday. She thought the well was a destination, but it was really what? A revelation to something greater. It was less than convenient, but it showed her that God was more than enough, more than she thought. It was less than convenient for Mary and Martha to do what they did, to send for Jesus. Surely they thought it was less than convenient for Jesus to show up 4 days late for the funeral of their brother Lazarus, but it had nothing to do with arriving at Bethany on time. It had nothing to do with the destination. It had everything to do with the what? What Jesus would use as a revelation to who God is, to take a dead situation and speak life into it. For Mary Magdalene, the travel to the tomb while it was still dark was less than convenient. She thought it was a destination, but it was really just a greater revelation. For Mary to travel to the hill country to visit Elizabeth, something holy happened when she said hello. It wasn't a destination. It was what God used as a what? A revelation. For God to come flesh-wrapped as a baby and born in obscurity was less than convenient, but God did it to show us that God is more than we thought, more than enough. Let me close by saying this. Perhaps your place in life right now, I like to think that I know a lot of you well, but perhaps your place in life is less than convenient, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. I don't know what it might be, physically. Perhaps your place is less than convenient, but could it be that God can use that space in your life to cause you to lean on your love of the Lord so much so that you realize God's more than enough or more than you thought. Perhaps the layoff right now was less than convenient. Perhaps the loss that you've experienced is less than convenient. But perhaps your holiday plans at this point have become less than convenient. But could it be? Could it be? Could it be that you just so happened to come to church this morning, and God just so happened to use this word to make you aware that there was more to your making it here? That it wasn't so much a destination, that perhaps the Lord wants you to know that the diagnosis is not your destination, that your disappointment isn't where you stop, your story continues, that the breakup isn't your destination, that contrary to popular belief, the failure doesn't mean you're finished. Could it be that there's an open door to something else, to something bigger? And maybe you're leaving this place for lunch later. Isn't just about eating food. Maybe your trip into the office tomorrow isn't just the routine for Monday. Maybe there's something more to it. Perhaps your place in the grocery line beside that person at that grocery store at that time wasn't just for you to check out, but perhaps for you to speak up or to share with. You see, it's not about the destination, but what God uses as revelation. The provision of God, the promise of God, the power of Christmas was felt not in flashy lights, not in fancy displays, but in a simple encounter, an everyday conversation between two common people who were, what? Just open. Just open to the opportunity. Who's to say this day in this place in time is any different? The kids said it, and I'll just reiterate what the kids said. The story continues with you. All that's required is that you're one word. Not impeccable, just available. Just in Jesus' name, amen.
On behalf of all of us here at Christ Church, I want to thank you for hanging out and tuning in. Continue to check us out online, but better yet, we'd love to have you worship with us on Sunday mornings, starting at 8:30 a.m. in the chapel or 11 o'clock in our main sanctuary. Until then, may God bless you so that you can bless others.